Welcome to Design Thinking Games, a gaming and user experience podcast. Card-carrying UXers Tim Broadwater and Michael Schofield examine the player experience of board games, pen and paper role-playing games, live-action games, and video games. Play through the backlog on your podcatcher of choice and on the web at designthinkinggames.com.
Design thinking is a process that is used to understand users, challenge assumptions, redefine problems, and create innovative solutions. In this podcast, we apply design thinking to gaming.
Welcome, everybody, to this penultimate episode of the Design Thinking Games podcast, Season 2 Extraordinaire. Here's the deal. Tim and I don't really have a topic for this one. We have a list of topics, and none of them are really sparking joy. The goal in trying to keep things fresh for you all becomes like a creative chore. We don't know what we're going to say in this episode. A well-designed war game is hard to make. But if you've listened to the show for any length of time, you know we stand Hell Let Loose, this realistic, immersive World War II shooter that not only requires that you play well, but that your squad plays well together. And well with other squads. There's no HUD, there are no scopes, one shot, and you're down. If you can't fortify, flank, and suppress as a team, you lose. And because of that, in my opinion, Hell Let Loose deserves many game awards. If that rings true and you want to help the show, consider downloading it through Gamersgate. No, not that Gamersgate. The Gamersgate that came before the controversy that hijacked the name. Gamersgate is the world's largest online store for PC and Mac games, more than 4,500 of them. And if you download Hell Let Loose or another game through designthinkinggames.com/gamersgate, it'll help us keep the lights on. I'll see you on the beach.
We did put up like the game of the year thing, and we put a poll up. I don't know if you remember.
I haven't looked at the results yet. Yeah, have people actually answered it?
Everyone said 50% of the people said Stray, 33% said Elden Rings, and 16% said The Quarry.
That might have been me. So this is actually something that was on Twitter today at the time of the recording, where I pinged you on it. The Elden Ring fan base seem to be resigning themselves that they are going to get, quote, robbed of the game of the year.
That sounds right.
You know, game of the year voting only prescribes a fraction of player choice, or I guess audience choice, to the actual weight of the awards. And we discuss kind of that, you know, Stray is cross-platform, Elden Ring is cross-platform, and was audience choice given more than 25% or so of the vote, any of these cross-platform games would totally win. But it looks like the Elden Ring Twitter community is starting to just assume that they're not going to win. I think they're going to win like some categories.
I feel like this is like the same thing as last year, when a lot of people were like, Resident Evil Village got robbed, you know.
Yeah.
And what won game of the year? Actually, a very phenomenal game, which was Two of Us. It Takes Two, which I love it. And if no one's played that game, it's great. And I've played the Resident Evil Village, and I'm just like, is it bringing anything new? Not really. So I loved this choice, but I actually know that tons of people were like, Resident Evil Village should have won the best game of the year, and it's robbed. And I feel that's Elden Ring. That's exactly what you're picking up on social media.
So I made a statement, I think it's true, about Elden Ring, which is, look, Elden Ring executed on the following things extremely well. Size of the open world. No doubt, in terms of scale, it's probably without parallel. I don't know how to phrase this, the size or the scale of the community impact. There were weeks where there's nothing on like TikTok Live or Twitch or whatever that wasn't Elden Ring. And because Elden Ring had such customizability and it had all these, and it's so difficult, it became a real conversation piece. And especially for a Souls game, the story written by George Railroad Martin is good, but it's buried. It's not in your face. It's kind of like Stray. You got to find it. You got to dig for it. What I said about Elden Ring was like, yes, it executed on things very well. Was it revolutionary? Did it change the landscape of video games? And
you don't want to hear my opinion here.
No, I don't think so. I actually don't know how much like a revolutionary metric plays for like game of the year, but I think it's part of it. I think the one that won last year had some revolutionary aspects to it, right? Maybe revolutionizing the landscape isn't even an important piece anymore.
I disagree 100% with what you said. Actually, 200% with what you just said.
About Elden Ring or about like...
Revolutionizing. And I didn't know this episode was going to turn into a hate speech about Elden Ring, but let me bring the hate.
Episode 30, I forget what number I went on. Fuck you, Elden Ring. Yeah,
exactly. So the funny thing to me is this. Okay, so everyone loves and has a total hard-on for high fantasy, right?
Sure.
I get it. I do. Tolkien completely... all Scandinavian, Irish, you know, kind of Scottish mythology, turned it into his own kind of thing. And that has actually become what high fantasy is referred to. So when Dungeons and Dragons with elves and dwarves and castles and knights and magic, not that we didn't have castles and knights, you know, but that is a genre that comes specifically from Tolkien. And so if we can agree to that, not that there aren't other contributors, but mostly to that. Then flash forward how many years to today? High fantasy has persisted for 60-some years. Dungeons and Dragons, elves. I am one of those people who is kind of done with high fantasy. And I don't care if it's Skyrim, and I don't care if it's 5th edition, or if I don't care if it's Elden Ring. And yeah, the mythology can be whatever you want. I don't give a crap about the mythology. But I mean, in the end, it's like there are these races and there are religious theocracies and then castles and then fantasy creatures. And there's a great evil and like armies and political alliances. And what we see today is this popularity persists with the Game of Thrones spinoff, the Rings of Power. And it's just people like that genre. And I'm like, that's great. I'm glad for you. However, when I see a horror movie summer camp kind of game that is like The Quarry, or I see a sci-fi future space cat game, I'm just seeing something different. There is something to be said, I think, about original concoctions. Nothing is new. I mean, we kind of know that, but... combining things alchemically to like what is an original concoction, like playing as a cat in a future robot society sci-fi satire, you know what I mean? That's kind of neat, you know. And when I think of the game of the year last year, Resident Evil. Okay, so we have yet another horror game that takes place in like a Castlevania style town, and there's these giant women who are vampires and undead. And okay, so maybe it's not umbrella Resident Evil, but it's still like, okay, horror, gothic horror in a small like whatever town. I don't feel anything new there, I guess. And so even if it's a mashup, which is putting a different spin on an old tale or just a different perspective of it, that's kind of what I'm attracted to. And It Takes Two really used all of these paradigms in the history of two-player games, Street Fighter, Battle Tank, stuff like that, and then wove it into a game about a mother and father trying to collaborate to save their daughter. You know what I mean? So, and it forced you to have two players.
That was a revolutionary aspect of it. They're really adding something new to like the cooperative multiplayer landscape in a way that like others didn't last year.
Yeah. And I love the fact that it's like, if you don't have two players, you're not playing this game.
I'm still stuck on the fact that you declare that Tolkien raped Scandinavia.
Yes. Well, I mean, you know.
Guys, playtesting is hard. If you've ever done that, you know how much of a struggle it can be. And if you haven't, you need to. It's part of good game design. that's why I'm super happy that this season of Design Thinking Games is brought to you by Playtest Kit. Literally playtestkit.com, which is designed by Steve Bromley to help us draw reliable, evidence-based conclusions that inform our design decisions. It gives us all the templates and guidance that we need to test prototypes, recruit, pick the right method, interview people, write surveys, and most importantly, configure and analyze the data so that we can do something useful with it. So whether you've never run a playtest before or you're a pro, this kit is going to save you time and help you get more value from each test you run. So sign up for free resources or go to get the full kit at playtestkit.com. And for the rest of the season, this season only of Design Thinking Games, use the code DESIGNTHINKING to get 10% off and let Steve know who sent you. I wonder if Game of the Year is going to come down to like the narrative, right? If this year is not defined by new mechanics or like a changing landscape, then it will be defined by how many pre-existing things were taken to the next level. And so when I look at like clips or people playing like Horizon, like I see like an expertly crafted narrative experience in the same way that is true for, you know, God of War. I think Stray falls into that category for me. Like, it's a very good game that told a story in a like really interesting way. I wonder how much of a factor that becomes.
There is something to be said about perfection, right? And not to quote that evil character from Harry Potter, like Dolores Umbridge, but she's like, let's not focus on this. Let's refine what can be refined, you know, or I'm killing the quote, but whatever she said, where she's like, let's not worry about learning new stuff. Let's improve and perfect what we do know. And so there is something to be said. What I gather from Elden Rings is, okay, so it's a different mythology, high fantasy, single player, open world, right? But if they really made the combat and the interaction and the stories and the mechanics fantastic, and that's why people love the game, then I think that's legitimate. You know, that has something to say. Did you ever play Mad Max?
No, and that had great reviews the year
it was phenomenal. Yeah. It was like one of my favorite open world games of all time, maybe more than Ghost of Tsushima or Horizon, to where it literally was dystopian future. It's all desert and you are just you have a car, but you're like scrapping and like building equipment based out of things you find and, you know, helping communities by like helping them survive, you know, so you kind of are a hero. But yeah, like I should probably play God of War. Red Dead Redemption is on my list because I know that people love it and it's won awards.
The quality of the open world really depends for me on the ability to get lost in it. So like Red Dead Redemption 2 or in 1, they all feel real. Like what's a testament to Rockstar here, one of the things that they do well is that like the character you inhabit in like Red Dead Redemption 2, where you're playing Arthur, you can go crazy evil and go on a murdering spree. You can be super good and saintly, you know, and it truly is an open world, much more so than any Mass Effect, which is definitely on rails, you know. Nothing you do is really dramatically out of character for that still single player narrative. So it's really kind of like interesting because, you know, no matter which direction you take it, it still feels broadly like Arthur. And I think that's kind of like amazing.
What I dislike about games that quote unquote appear to be open world is The Last of Us and The Last of Us 2. There's a story that you follow that is very linear, and it dumps you into a locked map, and you can't get out of that map until you do X things, talk to X people, or go about it. But in Red Dead Redemption, Elden Rings, Ghost of Tsushima, Mad Max, Grand Theft Auto, I mean, you can explore anywhere from day one. Like, you can go anywhere, do kind of anything. And so that is, I think, what people like about open world is, like, I don't want to follow a story or a timeline. Yeah, I can always go back and do the main quest, and I can help this person over here, or I can do this side quest and unlock items or cars or weapons or whatever. But I don't have to. I can just get lost in the game. And I think that when you said that, that's really what defines the beauty of open world, despite whatever genre it is or mashup of genres, right? Yeah. I like Stray. Don't get me wrong. I think Stray is great and unique, but it is very much like The Last of Us or The Last of Us 2, to where you are locked in these certain maps and you have to do X things or talk to X people before you can get to the next map. And that just is not Elden Rings. That is not most MMORPGs. That is not, you know, Red Dead Redemption or Ghost of Tsushima. You can go to like the level 100 bosses on day one, you know, and get destroyed, you know. But there is that thing to where unlocking the map, finding what's behind the hill, and like looking like, oh, where does this bird take me? Oh, it takes me to a shrine, or this is a weird waterfall or a river that I never would have encountered before. And then if I step behind that waterfall, it's like, oh my God, there's a cave, you know, that kind of mystery and intrigue that is kind of that open world kind of exploring. I think it's that feel of the original, like Legend of Zelda. It's just like, it's open. Go where you want. Think what you can do. Like, your weapon will only do X things, but you'll kind of learn, oh, there's more to this world than meets the eye, and there's people you can talk to and things you can do. And it's definitely for the people who, I have mad respect for open world games that are truly open world.
Design Thinking Games is an affiliate of Space Engineers. Space Engineers is a sandbox game about engineering, construction, exploration, and survival in space and on planets. To find out more about Space Engineers or its new DLC, Warfare 2, go to designthinkinggames.com/spaceengineers, or just go to our website and click on the banner.
I'm pressed really hard to find an open world horror game. I think like old school, back to like Simon's Quest, like Castlevania 2, to where it's like, dude, you can go to the last boss or do all this stuff and you don't know it until you experience it. But like an open world horror game, that's something I want to play, you know?
I would recommend to you, I'm hard pressed to say this is open world. I mean, I guess it is. Like Dying Light, I would recommend that highly. I feel like
Dying Light?
Yeah, the idea. Did you ever play Mirror's Edge? This kind of like
park. It's an open world zombie game, right?
Dying Light is a first person parkour zombie game. And the city is actually pretty broad. And you're kind of a badass. You never run out of stamina, not really. And you can sprint and balance and whatever. And the zombies are all around you. And there's different flavors, of course. You have the zombies who can like run very fast and stalk around at night. This might be up your alley, though. The narrative is good. The gameplay is delightful. And
is there a sequel to it? Like, is there more than one?
There's two. I would recommend playing them in order. Dying Light holds up. It's been getting constant updates. And it's one of those games where it's pretty delightful. And the multiplayer, I'm just saying, if you pick it up, is pretty fun. Because you have like two parkour people like running together, but the zombies that chase you are pretty spooky.
So I sound so persnickety because it's like, I'm the person who bailed on Walking Dead, and I'm just like, I'm not a zombie person. And I know it's a genre of horror that people love. They love zombie films. And so, but no, I will truly add Dying Light to the list because I am looking for an open world like horror. Evil Within 1 was very much map locked. It's like,
yeah, like a Silent Hill.
Last of Us or Stray. It's like here and now you're at this area. And then once you go out of that area, you can't really return to the previous area. You know, you're just kind of forced through this kind of map sequence. And so that kind of also aligns with a story, right? But the Evil Within 2 from moment one, it's like, this is the world. You can go anywhere in it. Over here is maybe zombies, but here is like a poltergeist or a ghost, or here's a serial killer. And it's just like, you can kind of just encounter it all, you know,
awesome.
At whatever pace you want to encounter it. Here's like a crazy cult over in this corner. So it's like truly like a lot of that kind of stuff. And I will try Dying Light, even though it's zombie based, because I, as you know, like probably from all the years of podcasting or whatever, but I love open world games, but it has to be something cool or unique to hook me. And so
give it a spin. I think the mechanics and the narrative might, like, it's still zombies. You're still surrounded by zombies, but it's, you know, it's, you're not in a mall surrounded by a horde. You know, you are moving really fast and gracefully. And it's one of those things like in Mirror's Edge that if you can master the mechanics, you are like kind of like dancing around these zombies, and it's incredibly brutal.
You know, I'm kind of looking at the games that are coming out that are there is. Let me get the name of it. There is the Black Myth Wukong game. I don't know if you've seen that one.
Oh.
I don't know. I can't tell if it's open world or not. It looks cool. It looks like it could be open world, but it may not be, right? And then I actually tried a couple games that were more ninja, samurai kind of in nature. And then when I find out they're not open world, that I can't move around like Ghost of Tsushima or something, then I'm just like, oh, I'm map locked. I lose interest. And that's just me, because now I played through and loved Last of Us and Last of Us 2, as well as Stray and other games that are map locked. But I truly just like, dude, if I want to just run around and fish, or just go follow streams, or just climb a mountain, I want to be able to do that. And that, I believe, is really why Breath of the Wild, the first 3D open world Zelda game that came out. Every Zelda game before that was kind of open world, right. And then some of it wasn't. It was map locked. But Breath of the Wild was truly like, here's Hyrule. It's all open. Enjoy. Yeah. That's why people loved it, because it needed to be that open world feel that 1 and 2 was. And Wind Waker was. Wind Waker, I'm not sure if you ever played it. It's the one that's all ocean. Yeah. People love that game because you can just sail anywhere, you know. And Zelda has always been kind of synonymous with open world, but then it got away from it, like on a couple things like Skyward Sword and Twilight Princess and some of the other ones. And then they kind of went back to open world, and which was a smart move, I think.
Well, if you want to get map locked to Design Thinking Games, you can find us on all of our social medias. We're on the 3 T's, TikTok, Twitch, and Twitter. Look for Design Thinking Games there. If you want to support the work we do, including work we haven't ever talked about yet, and may not. Oh my God. You can go to patreon.com/designthinkinggames, where we post ad-free episodes, and we would love your money. We also have excellent host-read advertisements. Perhaps you heard one of these on our public feed. And if you would like you want to reach our hordes of listeners, hop on over to designthinkinggames.com/advertise, and we will totally hook you up.
Thank you for listening to the Design Thinking Games podcast. You only have so much time, and it means a lot you shared it with us. To connect with your hosts, Michael or Tim, visit Design Thinking Games on TikTok, Twitch, and Twitter. DMs are open. You can also check out designthinkinggames.com, where you can request topics, ask questions, or see what else is going on. Until next time, game on.